This is a Steam Studio production.
Welcome to the Steam Spotlight, where we celebrate the inspiring achievements of students, educators, and community partners making waves in the Steam field.
For this Steam Studio Spotlight, we are excited to welcome Dr. Thomas Boo. Now, Dr. Boo has been a vital part of Northern Illinois University for nearly two decades, where he has served as the director of athletic bands and conductor of the Wind Symphony. But Dr. Boo's influence extends far beyond campus. Dr. Boo is a dynamic and respected figure across the entire music world as a Yamaha-sponsored artist, a prolific composer and arranger with works published by major houses, and a founding conductor of the Fox Valley Brass Band. Dr. Boo's expertise is in constant demand. He has presented master classes at top institutions like the Eastman School of Music and the University of Michigan. And he is a frequent clinician at prestigious national events, including the Music for All Symposium and the Midwest Clinic. From his roots in tuba performance to his current work as a conductor, composer, and educator, Dr. Boo's distinguished career truly embodies a lifelong and passionate commitment to the entire world of music.
Welcome to the Steam Studio Podcast. Today is going to be a really fun conversation. In the studio with us is Dr. Tom Boo. Welcome, Dr. Boo.
Sure. Yeah, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
So we're going to let you tell a little bit about yourself and kind of what you do here at NIU. But I know Russ and I are so excited about this conversation because, little spoiler alert, it's a band conversation and we are band kids at heart. So Dr. Boo, tell us a little bit about what you do here at NIU.
Well, I probably have the best job on campus because I literally do band stuff all day. I lead the Husky Marching Band, which is my most visible job, of course. You know, football games, homecoming parade, Sycamore Pumpkin Parade. Just this last weekend, a surprise trip down to perform for the Chicago Bears. So I love the marching band, and it's just its energy and the sound and color guard and dancers and drumline, all that great stuff. I also lead our two concert bands here at NIU. So I conduct the Wind Symphony, which is about 80 young people, fantastic musicians. And what's great about all of our bands is we incorporate students from every major. So the marching band, man, 60-70% non-music majors, folks from all over campus that just want to keep dancing or spinning a flag or playing the drum or clarinet or whatever they do. Even in our concert ensemble, so I, as I mentioned, do the Wind Symphony, but I also lead the Wind Ensemble, which is our flagship group. Even in the Wind Ensemble, we have students who are not music majors. They were just great players in high school, and come here and want to stay involved. And if we could achieve anything today, I think I'm less comfortable talking about myself, but I love talking about my students and the program and the fact that we welcome students from every major, certainly in the bands, but also in the choirs, the orchestra, the steel band, the gamelan ensemble. I mean, you name it, the School of Music has all these opportunities for people from every major to be involved. And so, you know, want to start out by spreading the word about that.
That is so much fun. I know so many people start band when they're elementary, middle school, high school, but then they come to college and like, well, you know, I got to focus on my major. And to know that there are the, like, if you can still explore your love of music and not let that go while you're at college, and it becomes a great opportunity.
You know what? Let me touch on that. And thank you for bringing that up. So how about this? the top academic award on our campus is the Lincoln Laureate, right? Mm-hmm. That's the student that outstanding grades, outstanding service contribution. This year's winner is in the trumpet section of the Husky Marching Band.
Yay.
His name's J.C. LaBarbera. J.C.'s a four-year band member, and yet he is, I mean, an incredible grade point. He is already taking some graduate-level classes, is involved in an a cappella singing group called the Husky Hunks. I mean, this guy just does it all. He's involved in our music fraternity, Kappa Kappa Psi, but our top student, and the really, I'm particularly proud of him, of course, but I'm also proud of the fact that he's not the first Lincoln Laureate from the marching band, right? Like, he's the second or third in just the last decade. So yeah, absolutely. You can, you know, the nice thing about music in college is you can pick your level of involvement, right? Like, the marching band is, that's a lot of commitment. That's a lot of time. Again, somehow JC managed it, but you know, if you wanted to be in, for instance, the university choir, they meet 2 days a week for like an hour and a half. That's a minimal commitment. You know, if you want to audition for the concert bands, okay, now it's, you know, 3 or 4 hours a week, a couple days a week, you know, a little bit more commitment. If you want to audition for the symphony orchestra, okay, well, that's a little bit more commitment. But students can kind of self-select. And of course, there are auditions for all those groups, right? You don't just walk onto the football team, you got to try out. You don't just walk on to, you know, Division I volleyball team, you got to try out. Well, you know, same for the bands. But the good news is, again, we welcome students from all majors, and we've got ensembles that in a few cases don't require auditions. We just want you to come out and check it out. Our pep band, for instance, no audition required, just sign up. Now, if you play drum set, or actually, Kristen, you mentioned you played bass guitar. We do have a bass guitar player in the pep band. You know, you do need to audition for those spots just because it's, as you know, it's a particularly important musical role. But the bass player in the pep band right now, not a music major, he writes and takes pictures for the Northern Star. So we don't care what your major is, if you can play or sing, come on out. We want to hear from you.
It's so fun to, like, I know our listeners can't see us right now, but I'm watching you just get so excited about our students and our musicians on campus. And it's just, I think that's what I love. So as you and I, we were talking a little bit before, you know, Russ and I, we had music connections early, but then I was also a band parent, which is even like a better, whole different kind of, like, being a band kid and then becoming a band parent. Like, I didn't cry during marching band when I was a kid. I cried during marching band when my kids were out there in the field, because it's just so amazing to see the commitment, the musicality, the joy and the pride that goes into that.
All of the above. Yeah. You know, I tell my students, I've been a band director for 34 years now. I taught high school at one point and then taught downstate at another university. But I've been here at NIU for 21 years. I look forward to going to work every single day. I still love music. I still love working with young people. Earlier this week, I was on the road recruiting and visiting a high school run by one of our alumni, and to see my love of music and love of teaching shared by my former students who are out there now sharing it with the next generation. Like, man, that's as good as it gets. There's just so much pride in that.
Dr. Boot, you can see that. You can see that when you're performing and when you're leading, but you also feel that, and that's really special. I know you don't like talking about yourselves, and that's always our issue. And I think that's why we make good educators and teachers in all forms. But I do think, how did you get to become where you are? How did you end up here? Because I'm not sure most people who don't continue pursuing it past high school, or just, you know, in their own personal lives playing an instrument, think about it as more of the career side of things. So what's that like? And then how do you help your students figure out maybe some careers in that?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for asking, Russ. You're very kind. For me, Incredibly, NIU's always been part of the picture. When I was in, as I was, I went to a small high school in rural Southwest Missouri. Like, our school was more known for our literally our tractor day, bring your tractor to school day, than anything else. You know, pretty good football team. I actually played football as a freshman in high school, but
what position did Dr. Boo in freshman year play? I just have to know that.
Okay, so it was a small school. and so at 5'7", 140 pounds, I was actually a linebacker. So that tells you how small the school was, right?
Like, still awesome.
I think the NIU linebackers are just a little bit
bigger.
But so from this small school, though, my director kept opening these doors. You know, at one point he literally, again, it was the 80s, right? So a different thing. He put me, our drum captain and our color guard captain in his personal vehicle and drove us all the way to Whitewater for a group called to experience a summer camp called the Music for All. At the time, it was Bands, Marching Bands of America, back in the 80s, but it was a national camp. And man, I got some training as a drum major and saw my first drum corps show. Well, of course, the road from Springfield, Missouri to Whitewater literally came right past DeKalb. Back in those days, it wasn't Interstate 39, it was Highway 51, this two-lane, you know, kind of, actually it was kind of this beautiful rural highway that weaved its way through all these towns. And I remember seeing the sign for NIU and thinking, oh yeah, I've heard of that, whatever. A few years later, I was marching, just a few years later, I was marching drum corps with the Phantom Regiment, who of course based up in Rockford, and we would rehearse here in DeKalb. So, and you know, again, if you know anything about drum corps, they call themselves marching music's major leagues. And so we would rehearse like insane amounts of time, 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day. And I remember one night we were rehearsing really late in Husky Stadium, like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, something. The police, DeKalb police pulled up and were like, hey, people are calling in noise complaints. Y'all got to shut it down. And so and at the time I'm like probably 18 years old. And the staff came to us. They said, look, they said we can start playing again as soon as the sun comes up. So y'all just find a place to sleep somewhere here in Husky Stadium, and we're going to get back at it as soon as the sun comes over the top. I'm like, okay, great, let's go. And so me and some of my buddies, like, literally, you know, crawled inside Husky Stadium and slept the night on one of the access ramps going up to the seating. Well, fast forward 25 years later, I'm interviewing for this very job here in DeKalb. And you know, I was over at athletics, you know, interviewed with the music department and the athletic department. And at one point they said, like, well, do you want to see the stadium? Oh, no, I've slept there. I got it. And they were very puzzled by that response. But like I said, somehow NIU has been a part of my story since I was 18 years old. Did my undergrad, you know, closer to home in Missouri, did graduate school, Arizona State, master's and doctorate. Incredibly in tuba performance, which is a really optimistic thing to get a terminal degree in. And yet, while I was getting this doctorate in performance, I was also a high school band director. And my graduate mentor in particular was like, you're going to be a better tuba player because you're a conductor, and you're going to be a better conductor because you're a tuba player. And let me show you how those things work together. He also taught me how to write music and arrange music and just how to teach, right? Like this guy was a world-class performer, teacher, and the things I learned from him there are what empower my job day in, day out here at Northern. Like, I write music for the band, I teach young people. It's really been quite a journey.
That's so beautiful. I absolutely love that. And how did you then, when did you know that you wanted to actually pursue it as a career? And what was that transition like from being someone who just loves music, plays it, learns it, studies it even, but then now this is my career, for those that might want to do that?
Sure. Well, I mean, honestly, I don't think there was like a watershed moment. It was more a question of a gradual evolution. So, you know, in high school, like I said, I marched drum corps and got to meet some of the best performers in the world. I got to travel nationally and even internationally to perform with them, which was just, I mean, for a kid from a small town in rural Southwest Missouri, that just blew my mind to be performing in Toronto or Chicago or on the East Coast or on the West Coast. I mean, just all these things. And so when I entered college as an undergrad, I was trying to kind of do two tracks. I, you know, was interested in the music and wanted to learn more about it. And, you know, I honestly had a scholarship like that made a big difference in my decision. But my father, who was the first Dr. Boo, is a PhD biochemist. And he always encouraged me. He's like, hey, your music stuff's fine, but I really want you to, you know, keep the door open on your math and your science. Like that's a much more stable career track. And I mean, that was good advice. And he was trying to help. So I think my very first semester, I had like all the normal music major classes, you know, piano class and ear training and, you know, of course, band and lessons and stuff. But I also took math major level calculus. Now, the first thing is I wasn't well advised. I wasn't advised at all. It was like, all right, kid, pick out some classes and here you go. I think we do it much better now.
So, and but, you chose calc?
Well, I mean, I had had the prerequisites in high school and I had done well in those sorts of classes in high school, but it just, I didn't have an appreciation of what that meant to try and study 200 level calculus as a 18-year-old freshman. And so I got an incredible education in calculus because as it turns out, the department chair was the professor. And I mean, he was a great teacher, but man, he taught it hard. And, you know, he purposely was like, hey, if you can't keep up with this, you should not be a math major. And by the end of the semester, I understood I should not be a math major. I honestly worked incredibly hard in that class. At some point I realized, you know what, if I don't get some help, I'm going to fail. So I was at his office hours 2 or 3 days a week. There was a graduate assistant that had, you know, mandatory office hours. I was there. I had some friends that, that were math majors and could help me. I worked really, really hard and earned a C in that class, and I'm proud of that C, man. What I got from that was, number one, a lot of respect for math majors, because that is some serious work. But it also kind of nudged me back over on the music side, like, okay, I think I'm a better fit over here. And it was a good, that worked out for me. And, you know, to kind of land the plane on this story with my dad, at one point, I had been traveling around the country. I'm a Yamaha artist. I'm a Dennis Wick ambassador. That's a mouthpiece I play on the tuba. And I was traveling around the country, you know, teaching for Yamaha and Dennis Wick and presenting at conferences. And he actually remembered that conversation from 20 years ago. He's like, you know, it seems like this music thing's really worked out for you. I'm really proud of you. I'm like, okay, well, there you go. I don't know, probably way more information than you need.
Well, I think what a lot of people don't also think about is there's actually a lot of math and science connections in music. I mean,
there are.
As you're composing and, you know, yeah, the science and physics of why a tubas, like why right. the sounds come out. And
right.
There actually is a lot of math and science that underpin what you do.
Well, and I've actually had to learn a lot of that. Again, I mentioned Yamaha. One of the things I do the most for them is there's a tool called the Harmony Director that I'll spare you the nerdy physics explanation, but it literally is mathematically and physically based, like, okay, this chord sounds better this way, and here's why. You know, and if you make these adjustments, it sounds even better, and here's why. So I've actually... I'm actually grateful for the math and science I learned back in the day and continue to learn, because you're right, it exactly goes together. And thank you, Christian, for mentioning composition. I arrange quite a bit for the marching band, which means I take other people's music and make it fit for Husky Marching Band. But I also compose, and in fact, this coming up Friday, November 21st, I'm going to perform with the Wind Ensemble and the Wind Symphony, so both concert bands on the same night, and both groups are performing a piece that I've composed. So that's a particular honor that my students are willing to perform my music. And, you know, like I said, only one a piece. I don't want to monopolize the program, but it's fun to be able to share that part of the creative process with them. As I said, I'm really proud of the students, and I feel like it's a sacred obligation to put really good music in front of them to help them grow as musicians, help them grow as performers. And of course, we do have a number of students who are music education majors, and they need to know core repertoire, great composers, as well as emerging music. So everything we do is geared along those lines, trying to make those connections.
Composing to me is fascinating because it's like the imagination and the creativity that goes into that. How did you always know that? And you talked about it a little bit, but as you were kind of getting involved in music, did you always know, hey, I also want to make my own? Like, I've got something to say. Or was it just kind of you fell into it and you're like, hey, this is kind of cool?
No, I would, boy, I wish I could tell you that. but it wouldn't be true. When I was a kid, you know, like everybody, man, I was into rock and roll. I was drawn to, like, I certainly listened, you know, back in those days, there was literally like the top 40 stations, right? Like, you know, Casey Kasem's, you know, Countdown and all that stuff. Like, I knew all those songs, but there were other groups I was more interested in. Like even today, the Canadian power trio Rush, is well known by folks our age, as well as, you know, the 15-year-olds are still listening to that because it's great music. But man, there's a level of complexity and a level of virtuosity to that that is greater than most of the stuff you would hear in, you know, mainline radio. And so I was, I guess the term now would be like progressive rock or something like that. So I was listening to, you know, top 40 rock and roll, and I knew that stuff, but I was also listening to some really interesting rock and roll, and I was also listening to jazz. And you know, I was a singer as well. I was, even in undergrad, I was double majored vocal and instrumental. So, and again, I do have my father to thank for that. He was an amateur singer who, you know, we were talking about staying involved in music in college. Even though he was a chemistry major at Mizzou, he sang in like a university choir. And so even at a young age, like I remember 14, 15 years old going to a singer's reunion with him and singing along with, you know, this all ages choir for a few days in the summer. But we were singing, you know, Brahms and Bach and all this really, really like high level artistic literature. So for me, there was always this blend of stuff. And for a long time, I was very, very happy just playing other people's music. And I still am, right? Like there's some amazing things being written and that have been written, and being a musician today means you can, you know, do stuff that's up to the minute. Like literally yesterday on stage, 2 days ago now, we had a composer named Josh Rodriguez who, you know, lives in Chicago and is writing some absolutely brilliant music for band. He was on the stage with the Wind Ensemble helping us rehearse his own music. I mean, this stuff is the ink still wet, right? And at the same time, we look backwards 50 years, 100 years, 200 years or more to play the masterworks. Anyway, my path to composing was, you know, certainly as a young person, I would, you know, make up melodies or make up little songs. And if nothing else, I would make up little songs to memorize stuff for classes. Like, you know, there's still something to be said for flashcards and just raw memorization. And so, you know, would make up jingles and stuff with that. When I started teaching high school, many times I, out of necessity, I would have to start arranging. I would realize that, well, okay, this piece calls for oboe. I didn't have an oboe at that kind of modest high school program, at least not at first. And so I would have to write that part out for somebody else. And so then there was this process of like, well, I could write the oboe part for flute. Oh, but then it gets lost in the flute sound. Well, I could write it for clarinet. Oh, that seems to work a little bit better, you know, and so there was this born of necessity experimentation in arranging. Or, you know, my students would come to me like, Hey, could you write out, like, there's this song on the radio. Could you write out a little bit of that? And, we would do that. Of course, these days we're much more conscious about adhering to copyright law. And I assure you that anything Husky Marching Band plays is we've paid for permission to arrange. We have the appropriate licensing fees. But that led to, honestly, the path was on the tuba side of things. So as a My first college job was, assistant director of bands and professor of tuba. And I wanted to be able to go out and play the tuba with some high school bands as a recruiting tool, but there was very little literature available. And so I thought, you know what? I bet I could write something. And again, it started as an arranging thing, like, all right, I'm going to adapt to this thing for tuba solo and then, arrange the band parts. And then there was an invitation to, well, what if you were to write something original and play it with this band? I thought, well, that would be fun. Let's try that. Let's see how that goes. And in my head, I was already making up excuses about, well, it's not done yet, or it's not going to happen. I'm too busy. But I actually really enjoyed the process. And so over the years, I've written maybe not a full length concerto, but man, 20 minutes for solo instrument and wind band for all the brass. So trumpet, two for trumpet, actually, euphonium, tuba, French horn, trombone, bass trombone, a piece for saxophone, not for oboe yet. May have to try that one. And then I've written a lot of works for concert band, the most recent of which was my sabbatical project. NIU was very generous to grant a sabbatical for me last spring, so spring 2025. You were talking about that math connection. So I had to learn a new piece of software, a new notation software called Dorico, which is fantastic. But man, the learning curve was, I mean, it was 6 or 8 weeks of help screens and sample projects and calling people and watching videos, but then also created a honestly 12-minute long piece for a brass quintet and the wind ensemble. So that will premiere again this Friday, November 21st.
Congratulations. That's really cool.
Well, Dr. Boo, this conversation has been absolutely enlightening. I'm incredibly grateful for your time. If someone wants to get involved with the band, wants to listen to the band or any of the concerts you are, what's the best way to learn more?
Sure. Well, thanks for asking, Russ. And indeed, this has been a lot of fun. I'm honored to be asked. Let's see. Marching Band is about to wrap up the season, but our audition cycle starts honestly like in February with the drumline doing some remote, audition preparation things. And then our first round of drumline auditions is in March and the final round in April. Dance team and color guard auditions are end of April. So would encourage people to get on the Marching Band website. And just, hey, click the box, let us know you're interested, and we'll be in touch with more information. For the Pep Band, they are alive and well and supporting men's and women's basketball right now. And so they essentially start over at in January. So we'd love to have folks sign up for Pep Band. If you play woodwind or brass, no audition. If you play like drum set or electric bass, we do need a screening audition. And again, like too many drum set players is a good problem to have, but so we do have to screen students for that. Our concert bands audition at the start of each semester, and that music will be available shortly after Thanksgiving on the School of Music website. You can simply sign up for an audition time or for any if students have questions about any of those opportunities, they're welcome to email me directly. T-Boo, BOUGH at NIU.edu, or just email the band office. Beautiful email there, band at NIU.edu. And we, again, we're always wanting more people to have the opportunity to get involved. We know there's great musicians walking around this campus from every conceivable major, and we'd love to have them involved. So yeah, please do invite folks to come out.
Perfect. So everyone heard that is band at NIU.edu. That's a great email. Again, I think I'm going to reiterate everything that Dr. Boo has said during this time is try it, reach out, ask a question. Right. I think Dr. Boo has been incredibly welcoming, and I think most of our campus is that way 100%. So ask a question, right. Pursue a passion. Dr. Boo, we got to have you back because we got to talk about technology and music and all that stuff. So we have more fun coming, okay?
Love it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the STEAM Studio. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and leave a review to help others discover our shows. You can listen on platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to this STEAM Spotlight. Thank you to our partners, NIU STEAM and Northern Illinois University, for supporting this podcast. If you would like to learn more about the work we do, please check us out online at niusteam.niu.edu. Thank you so much for listening.